The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Hey, very pleasant. Good afternoon. Welcome to the program on this Monday. Yeah, we finally made it to the college football season, at least our college football season. It is week four of the overall college football season, but it's week one in the SEC, and we could not be happier. A lot of guests today. We will get you ready for the games. And what about this? SEC opens the season with six teams in the AP Top 25. Only six? Well, wait till you see where some of them are. I mean, they are way, way at the top of the heap. Alabama number two, Georgia four, Florida five. You could say three out of the first five. Well, that is until you get to number six, when you have four out of the first six. And then you have Auburn at number eight, Texas A&M number 10. That is pretty remarkable. Tennessee 16, Kentucky 23rd. Now remember, in a couple of weeks, you will start to see the Big Ten move into this, but that's not until the end of October. Meanwhile, the Aggies are looking good right now, or are they? Their starting linebacker, Anthony Hines, has opted out of the season. Remember, they lost another key player last week. What's going on out there in College Station? Ed Ogeron was in a rarefied position last night, talking on 60 Minutes. The last SEC coach to do that? Well, you guessed it, Nick Saban in 2013. Ogeron handling himself quite well. It was a very interesting piece. It included his mother making her famous gumbo. It's already been a rough season for Mike Norvell in his first season at Tallahassee, moving over from Memphis. Lost the opener, and now he has tested positive for COVID. He will miss the Miami game Saturday night. And it was prime time today in Mississippi. Jackson State announced Deion Sanders, who is a FSU graduate, by the way, or at least he played there. He is the new head coach, and they are pretty excited to get prime time down there in Jackson today. Meanwhile, this game has seen a little bit of everything. Remember, Tim Tebow lost to Florida. It has seen some strange games. They don't play very often, but they'll play Saturday in one of the more interesting games of the opening weekend. And we thank you for being a part of the program. We have a number of guests that will be dropping by, including John Talty, here in a couple of minutes. John did one of the more interesting stories I've seen in a while in AL.com today, the 25 most influential people in the SEC. Richard Johnson, now of the SEC Network, will join us in about an hour. Pat Dooley on the Gators, and Nick Suss on the continuing happening of the coaches in Mississippi. You thought Lane Kiffin and Mike Leach was enough? Now you got Deion Sanders. And we will take your phone calls as well at 855-242-7285. And let's check in with Dylan, who starts it all off from Massachusetts. So, hello, Dylan. Good afternoon to you.
Hey, Paul. How's it going? I'm a huge
fan. We are doing great, Dylan.
Really excited to be on. My question for you is, how many games do you think, so we obviously have these conferences starting up, you know, Big Ten is back, the Pac might be back, UMass, you know, might be back. How many games do you think they're going to need to play to be eligible for the playoff? Do you think if, like, Ohio State plays six games, there'll be a couple games canceled with COVID? Do you think they'll still be allowed in the playoff? Or
Dylan, I think it really depends. And, you know, that's a question that cannot be answered yet. I think if we get into the season and start seeing everyone missing a game or two, then obviously that number comes down. But I am of the opinion that it's not the number of games you play, it's the quality of games. So if Ohio State loses an also-ran game but gets in Penn State and Michigan, then I think they'll be considered far more seriously. And, yeah, I think that goes to show you for Alabama as well. I mean, the Missouri game, Alabama's a four-touchdown favorite. That game's not going to factor into it. But LSU, Georgia, Auburn, those games will.
Oh, makes sense. Makes a lot of sense, Paul. Thank you. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you very much, Dylan. Great to have you on board on our our program today. Trenton is up next. Hey, Trenton, you're on the air, and go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing?
We are doing well. Thank you.
All right, a couple of things I'd like to say is, first is Go Vols, Rocky Top Nation here in Millbrook, Alabama. And I hope Garantano comes out this year and has some protection, gets the job done. And I hope we beat up on those Gamecocks. And I would also like to see the Kentucky Wildcat come out there and beat those Auburn Tigers.
Yeah, you know, I think those are the two most intriguing games of the weekend. I mean, let's be honest, the slate has a lot of lopsided lines. I mean, big time lopsided. But those two games, especially the Tennessee-South Carolina game, and just on paper, that's probably the closest. That is the closest game. Let's get to Mel. I'm sorry, Mel is up next in Florida as we start off fast today. Hello, Mel.
Hey, Paul. Happy Monday.
Thank you.
Look, I want to talk to you about a conspiracy theory. I was a senior in high school when JFK was shot, so I was weaned on the conspiracy theory of conspiracy theories.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so first of all, the Big Ten presidents initially did not want to have football. They kind of got dragged into it kicking and screaming because of fans and coaches. So what do you think that – do you think that they set up themselves for failure with their protocol, their COVID protocol? 21-day, you test, you're out 21 days. That basically eliminates a player for half or more of the season.
Mel, it sounds like to me the president of Minnesota or Michigan State, both of whom are – doctors, one's an immunologist, one's an epidemiologist, probably said, listen, I will agree to vote yes if you do this. And that's some pretty sharp teeth. I agree with you. There's no way if you have a COVID outbreak, you're going to get most of the season in. And I think it was done intentionally just to get back at those who look past COVID as not being particularly important.
Well, That was my thought, and it just is brutal. You miss 21 days, and that's at least three games, if not, or more than that, because of practice time and conditioning. So,
hey Mel, think about this. You're right. I mean, that's what we know about. But if you miss 3 weeks, you tell me. I know they're 19, 20 year old kids, but they are not going to be in playing shape. So you're going to lose more than 3 weeks.
Right. And depending on when it occurs during the season, you could be out for the rest of the season.
Yeah, now we are talking about, season enders. I mean, if you're Ohio State and your offensive line gets wiped out as you're about to play Penn State, Michigan, et cetera, I mean, those games have some separation, but it could have a deleterious effect. Hey, thank you for the call. Really, really do appreciate it. Let's check out Michael in Macon. Hello, Michael. You're on the air.
Hey, Paul. How are you, buddy?
We are doing well.
I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller. I really enjoy your show. I wanted to talk just for a minute about the Joe Tessitore interview.
Yes.
I love Joe Tessitore. I think he's one of the best announcers going, and I'm glad he's back in the college game. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, for those who don't know me very well, Joe and I have been really close friends for many, many years, and I was just thrilled to hear him the other day, that excited. I mean, the guy was on Monday Night Football. That's the pinnacle of broadcasting. And, you know, most of what went wrong on that show was not his fault.
I agree. And, I mean, they change announcers about every other season.
Remember, they had Jason Witten, who didn't work out. Then they had
– right.
They brought Booger in, and it was so. I mean, he moved on, and I give him a lot of credit. He is a phenomenal broadcaster.
Yeah. Anybody that hadn't heard him do the Georgia Mississippi State flea flicker opening play of the game for Georgia's offense, that was a great call. And this what's ironic is the next year Mullen tried the same play on us and actually had it open.
Oh, I do remember that.
Overthrew it.
Well, Michael, thank you very much. Yeah, Joe was with us on Friday. He did the Georgia Tech UCF game. We are heading to our first break of the day. We have a lot of guests coming up, so I hope you'll stick around. Still plenty of time for you to give us a ring, and we are back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And we welcome you back here on the program, and great to have all of you here. Robert is up next. Hey, Robert.
Hi, Paul. I'm calling for two reasons. One, you might be able to help me. The other one, you probably won't. Let me get the first one. About a week and a half ago, you had a caller mention Kaylee Hartung. And, you know, I'm a big Kaylee Hartung fan. I really like Kaylee Hartung. And a lot of people may not know this, but when the coronavirus pandemic hit...
Hey, welcome back. I'm sorry, Robert. Let me start over again. I think I went to you just a second early there. Robert is up next in Los Angeles. Go ahead, Robert.
Like I say, I was talking about Kaylee Hartung, and a lot of people may not be aware of this, but shortly after the coronavirus pandemic hit, I heard that Kaylee Hartung had contracted the coronavirus, and I was very concerned, and I have not heard anything.
Yeah,
that is
correct. Yeah, I know Kaylee very well. Kaylee was covering the story up in, I think it was Seattle. Remember the nursing home up there was probably the first place in the country that had a major outbreak, and while she was covering the story, she did contract it. She is doing great. We have spoken to her a couple of times, and I appreciate you asking.
I'm very glad to hear that. I'm very happy to hear that. The other reason I'm calling, and you probably can't help me with this because I've heard you say a few times that you don't really follow high school recruiting, but, you know, I'm a huge Alabama fan, and, you know, I don't have a computer, so I can't really get on the computer, and when I get on the computer, I go to the library, and the libraries in Los Angeles have been closed since early March, so I haven't been able to follow Alabama recruiting at all, and I'm hoping that you can help me as much.
Yeah, let me
as you
let
can.
Me. I do follow it from a distance. I'm not like somebody that lives and breathes it as many do. But what's going on with Alabama recruiting is this: they were when you last checked, I think 50 or 60th in the country. I think they're number one right now. So. Not many people have prospered during the pandemic, but Alabama football has.
Do you know if they've got a commitment from a quarterback?
Well, I'm trying to remember. I'll double check on that. And, you know, remember something, Robert, and this is when it gets a little bit dicey for us. Until somebody signs, we have some restriction in terms of what we can say and not say, but I will check on that. I don't think they have a quarterback, but let me make sure before I answer that one. Steve is up next. Hey, Steve, go right ahead.
Hey, what's up, Paul?
Hey there.
Hey, I was just calling for a couple of reasons. First off, I appreciate you taking my call. I love your show.
Thank you.
I wanted to know, with all the excitement going on, is there a particular game that intrigues you the most? And I assume it's Auburn, Kentucky, but my real question to you was, because you have the Paul Feinbaum, you know, bird's eye view on the whole scenario type thing, what in particular are you looking forward to? Maybe something outside of the obvious. Like, are you looking to see about Mike Leach? Like, is there anything you're looking forward to?
Yeah, Steve, let me say this, and I don't want to be dismissive of the first 3 weeks of the season. I mean, I've watched the Raging Cajuns a couple of times pull things out. I mean, there have been some interesting games. What I've missed is, I think, what a lot of people have missed. It's just a continuity of games, which we will see Saturday for the first time. In terms of the two games I'm probably watching the closest this weekend, it's obvious. It's Tennessee and South Carolina at night. So much at stake there. And the early game with Kentucky and Auburn. I want to see what Lane Kiffin does, just out of curiosity. I'm extremely curious about Mike Leach going into Tiger Stadium. So, I mean, I think that's really – I mean, Alabama, Missouri, with Missouri being way down numbers-wise, I don't think we'll learn a whole lot there. Doesn't mean I won't watch it. But, yeah, I think the games that I think South Carolina's game is critical.
Who do you got in that game?
I haven't decided yet because I think it's the hardest game to call. And
me too.
And I think, and I say this because both teams can. I mean, it's a cliche to say both teams can't afford to lose, but if South Carolina loses that game, I don't know where they go for a good season.
And lastly, do you think Kentucky's got a real shot?
I know a lot of people do. I'm probably not one of them. We have Danny Sheridan on the show on Wednesday. So I am going to withhold any judgment on any games until we get the Wizard of Oz on here, okay?
It is early. All right, thanks for taking my call, man.
Yeah, and I want to say this. I realize we have a lot of new listeners and viewers. I am not an odds maker. I don't normally – I mean, I have fun like you guys have fun, but – yeah, I always get uncomfortable in picking games because I really am no better than some guy at the end of the bar. It's amazing. The more you cover it, the more you talk about it, sometimes the worse you are in picking it. Shannon is up next. Hey, Shannon, good afternoon.
Paul, congratulations on being so influential. I'm astounded at your rank. It's very impressive. You're up there with SEC commissioners, college presidents, super agents, and let's see, network executives and I guess the most famous agent in America. So congratulations.
Well, yeah, you're talking about Nick Khan, who had been my agent until he left a couple weeks ago to go to the World Wrestling Enterprise. But yeah, we're going to talk about that list in a minute, which Greg Sankey leads, the author of that article, and he'll explain how it, for those who'd missed it, I briefly alluded to it, the 25 most influential people in the SEC. It's available on AL.com by our next guest, John Talty.
So the reason I was calling, Paul, I think one of the most interesting games this weekend is South Carolina at Tennessee. And I think it became even more interesting last week. I kind of alluded to it in one of my calls when Muschamp named the transfer from Colorado State as their starting quarterback. And I find that very odd, and let me explain why. Bentley was a starting quarterback, got injured, lost the job to Helinski. Bentley never earned the job back. Helinski was a true freshman last year, seemed to be very popular with the staff, the players, and the fans. And now they have a transfer who's come in and taken the starting job. Here's my question. If South Carolina stumbles against Tennessee, which I suspect they will, two things. Number one, does the change at quarterback bring greater criticism on Muschamp? And number two, does any coach get a pass this year with all the COVID that's going on in terms, we know Muschamp ended the season last season under a lot of heat. Does he get a pass this year because of that?
It's a good question, and we've already seen one coach fired, so I would like to tell you that they will get a pass, but the Southern Miss coach got fired after one game. I think Muschamp is out of passes, quite frankly. I mean, he was able to dodge last season, which was a disaster because of his buyout, and he had a new president and a very loyal AD. But I think it just depends. I mean, if this season is an abject disaster, then I think they're in a really tough spot. But if it's a close call, I think he will survive. Yes.
If he starts with a loss to South Carolina, how close can you come to having an abject disaster?
Well,
you've got a pretty tough run.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. When you start, and this is a cliche here, Shannon, but when you start off losing your opener, which is a jump ball game. Let's be honest. That's a tight game, and I mean, if it's at home, and if you can't beat Tennessee at home, then you know it would portend a really difficult season when you factor in everyone else that South Carolina has to play. So I think the Heat would start pretty quickly.
Well, I think with the switch at quarterback, because I think Kalinske was a pretty adequate quarterback.
I thought he was really good. Yeah, but remember, and as I know you do, I mean, Bobo comes in, he brings his quarterback with him, and that's, I'm sure there's a comfort level, and you know, puts a lot of pressure on Bobo too, because this is, I'm not saying Will Muschamp didn't play a role. Of course he did, but I would think that the offensive coordinator who brings the quarterback in would be the guy who made the call.
And remind me again, Paul, how successful were they at Colorado State last year under Bobo?
Bobo was let go. That's why he's at South Carolina.
Okay. So there's my point. Hey, yeah, well, enjoy the
I
show.
I thought it was. Hey, thanks for the call.
Congratulations. Yes,
thank you very much. Yeah, what he was talking about is this list that we will be looking at here in a minute. John Talty, who is the sports editor of AL.com. He solicited, I'll let him tell the story in a minute, but we will talk to John in a minute about the 25 most influential people in the SEC.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back. It is so great to have you on the first Monday of the college football season, SEC style. It's been going on for a couple of weeks, but it really seems real. And one person that we have been talking about all throughout this is our next guest. He is John Talty, who has done such a wonderful job covering the return to football. Today in AL.com, this is must read if you are a SEC fan or a fan of college football. How the sausage is made, ranking the SEC's 25 most influential people. And I've always felt, having done lists like this way in the past, the person making the list or compiling it might actually have the most influence of all. John Talty joins us. John, great to have you back. And before we even get to the list, it's just amazing all the conversations that we have had. And I think we've talked just about every week or two. Here we are, the SEC season about to begin.
We've made it, Paul. We finally are here. There are times where it felt like we might not get here. I think throughout my appearances on your show, I've always thought we would get at least one game. And so I think we are finally here at that point for the SEC this weekend. But it's been quite the journey the last, six plus months of this coronavirus pandemic to get to this point. And finally we're here. And I think it just shows to this point.
the games actually start, how it all works out from there.
And I will give you a lot of credit because you lean heavily on sources that are in the midst of the decisions, and you never failed to report to us and to your audience that we would get to an opening weekend. Nobody can predict beyond that, but a lot of folks were saying the season was done, and quite frankly, in some parts of the country, it was done, but we did get here. John, let's talk about what you just written. I know you've been working on this a long time, and I think there is a perception that you roll out of bed and just come up with 25 names. I know that's not exactly the way it works. Tell us, before we even get to the list, how it's compiled.
Sure, yeah. This is something that we have been working on for a while. Essentially, I had an initial idea of some people that I thought would be on this list, and then just started reaching out to some people that I know, some people that I didn't know before I started this process, just to kind of feel out who they thought were the people who are most influential in the SEC. And we really tried to talk to people across the board. We talked to people who are ADs, people who are senior administrators, people who are journalists, agents, coaches, people who work in the search firm industry, CEOs of companies that deal with the SEC. We really talked to kind of a wide variety of different people to try to really narrow down which is a huge conference and a lot of people involved into a core group of people that are going to be on this list. And then from there, reached out to kind of a different group of people to, rank. We came up with the finalists 1 through 25, and that's really kind of where we were able to take a list that I felt very good about and then transform it into kind of the rankings you see today, which is the top 25 most influential people in the SEC.
We will share now, and I'll talk to you about as many as we can with the audience watching on TV. I'll read the list to those of you who are listening somewhere else. But in terms of the top 10, and there's so many more that go deeper than this, Greg Sankey, number one, Nick Saban, Jimmy Sexton, who is the agent, Jimmy Pitaro, who's the president of ESPN, Eli Capilotto, who is the president of Kentucky, Paul Feinbaum, who is the host of the show, Jerry Moorhead, the president at Georgia, Burke Magnus, who is the executive vice president at ESPN, Mitch Barnhart, AD at Kentucky, and Mark Keenum, who is the president at Mississippi State. I think it's pretty easy to figure out how Greg Sankey became number one. I don't know. I didn't see your final tabulation, but I would think that was pretty universal.
It was, and when you do these lists, Paul, and I know you've done them too. You don't always want to end up with the cliche number one, and so you're doing a list of the most influential people in the SEC, and okay, obviously the commissioner in the league is probably going to be the most influential, but I think especially when you look at the last 6 months, it would have been silly, I think, to put anyone other than Sankey at this point, given not only all that he has done within the league to kind of navigate this really treacherous period, but the role that he had nationally. And when we saw the Big Ten and the Pac-12 make their decisions to move to spring, other conferences were kind of wavering, didn't really know what was going to happen, and SEC, decided to kind of hold the line. And Greg Sankey deserves a lot of credit for that. Played a very important role behind the scenes in trying to calm very legitimate concerns from presidents and chancellors about should we be doing this. And he deserves a lot of credit, I think, for where the SEC is right now. We've seen already the Big Ten and Pac-12 kind of reverse course, and at least the Big Ten has officially announced trying to play in October. I don't think any of that happens unless the SEC and by a large measure, Greg Sankey did what they did when everything was up in the air, and the SEC kind of held as much as they could, and that's where we are right now.
Talking to John Talty, I think Nick Saban, who very well may go down as the greatest coach of all time. After that, Jimmy Sexton. I mean, you could almost argue that nobody has more influence than him. He represents, according to your piece, 10 SEC coaches.
It's pretty incredible the amount of influence he has. And what's amazing is not only is that number huge, but he's had about that number or a little, one or less or one more for years now. I mean, he has had a significant amount of SEC coaches under his representation. And one of the things, and I mentioned in the little kind of piece Clemson for years now. You know, I've talked to some people in the industry who are saying that, you know, Clemson at this point can just go directly to university presidents. He doesn't even always have to go through ADs anymore. He's just someone who, you know, represents Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher and Gus Malzahn and all these Kirby Smart, all these kind of the big heavyweight names in the SEC. You know, Clemson represents pretty much all of them. I think Ed Orgeron's one of the big exceptions, but otherwise it has almost everybody, and you know, at least the way that things are going is going to continue to represent a bulk of the SEC coaches for, you know, foreseeable future.
In fact, John, a couple of years ago when Tennessee hired Jeremy Pruitt, there were three finalists. He had all three finalists. I mean, it's just incredible, you know, the reach that this man has.
Absolutely. And I think one of the really interesting things, as he has kind of expanded his team, they've made some new hires. You know, recently hired Evan Daniels, who's was a basketball reporter, to be a CAA basketball agent, is that he can get involved in the staffing too. So he might, you know, help facilitate, you know, a head coach hiring a defensive coordinator or a position coach. You know, his influence extends beyond simply, you know, just the head coaching. You know, I think the reason why Pete Golden is Alabama's defensive coordinator is in large part because of Sexton putting those two people together when, you know, previous to that, I don't think Golden was even really on Nick Saban's radar.
After that, I'm trying to remember the list now. Four is... Who is four, by the way? I've already forgotten.
Katara.
Oh,
Katara. Your boss. Please. You don't want to forget that one, Paul.
I think, boy, I hope he's busy right now. Jimmy Pitaro, who is number four. And what's interesting about that is that probably the most important thing that he has done has not yet been announced. Would that be a fair statement?
Agreed. I mean, his biggest power is that he has the ability to stroke the big check. And, you know, as I've reported and as other people have reported, you know, the expectation is for the CBS game of the week to move to ESPN once that contract is over. And so that deal has not been officially announced, but it's, you know, widely expected to happen and be announced, you know, at some point. And so he certainly, as the president of ESPN, you know, played a role in that, and is going to be, you know, one of the reasons why, you know, all these different SEC schools are going to, you know, have some extra zeros in their bank account going forward.
And of course, Burke Magnus on there too, who's a critical part of all this. Burke Magnus was one of the most important people who put the SEC network together for the company. A couple of presidents on there. These are names that the average fan doesn't know unless you're an alum of a particular school. But Capiluto at Kentucky, Moorhead at Georgia, Keenum at Mississippi State. You tell us, but I would imagine these were three critical figures in helping Greg Sankey bring football back this year.
Absolutely. And Paul, I think if there's one thing that I think we should have learned about, you know, these last few months as these conferences weighed what they wanted to do, is that ultimately the power is in the hands of the presidents and chancellors. So we don't think about them very often. We think about the football coaches, or maybe we think about the ADs, but certainly we saw, you know, in the Big Ten before they reversed course, you know, how much the football coaches wanted to play and the ADs wanted to play, and the presidents and chancellors, you know, initially voted to not play. And so it speaks to just how much influence these people can have. You know, when I started this list, I was not expecting, you know, Dr. Eli Capiluto to be the fifth most influential person on the list, but, you know, talking to people around the league, you know, he just happened to be very uniquely qualified in this moment to be the president of, you know, the SEC presidents and chancellors, but also to have the medical background that he does. You know, before that was, you know, dean at UAB, provost at UAB. He's got a master's in epidemiology, which has never been more relevant, and also, you know, a doctorate from Harvard in health policy and management. So he was someone who really, you know, when you have all these questions about what do these stats mean and what kind of tests should we be doing, you know, he could, you know, reliably answer those questions to the other university presidents and chancellors, which I think was critical. And, you know, with Moorhead and Keenum, these are two guys that have been around the SEC for a while, have, you know, important voices behind the scenes. They both have important roles on different committees. You know, Moorhead is now going to be the president of the SEC. I think he switched over last month. And so he's, you know, someone who has grown in stature during his time at Georgia, is now on some of these NCAA committees as well. And so these are the three presidents, chancellors that have really made, I think, the biggest voices in those rooms, the most important voices over a lot in the last 5 years. Those are three of the most tenured and well-respected in that room.
We're going to take a quick break, finish the list with John Talty of AL.com. Back with more after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. Great to have you here. Rejoining with John Talty for a few more minutes from AL.com. John, there's so many names to mention. Obviously, I would encourage anybody to either check out your Twitter or AL.com. But I want to ask you about one or two people in particular. Charlie Hussey, whose name is not well known probably to people outside of the inner circle. But in your piece, you talk about him possibly being the heir apparent to Greg Sankey.
Yeah, Paul, we're going to have a bigger story on Charlie later this week. So I would direct your viewers and listeners to check back AL.com later in the week for that. But Charlie is someone who's extremely well-liked within the SEC. I believe he's about 42 years old, so he's a younger guy, but has worked in the SEC for 20 years now. And so he's worked under three different commissioners in Roy Kramer, who initially hired him, Mike Slive, and of course now Greg Sankey. All three of those commissioners have promoted him up the ranks, recently becoming the number two in the SEC. In December, he's someone who's played an important role with the SEC Network and all these different kind of bigger deals that the SEC has done recently. Hussey's been one of those key people. So he's certainly a name to keep a close eye on. We've seen in some of these things in recent years, Big Ten's a good example of it, which there were some names that people thought would potentially be the person to replace Jim Delaney, and then Kevin Warren kind of comes out of nowhere. But I would say from talking to multiple different people around the league and also just kind of insiders outside of the league that Hussey is the one who people would say is kind of the betting favorite at this point whenever Greg Sankey decides to eventually walk away. But certainly a lot can happen between now and then, and Charlie also might just want to do something other than that. But he's very well-liked among key people in the SEC.
In terms of power base, John, as you go through this, you have a number of athletic directors. Some coaches are pretty self-evident, but without going through every one, because there are a number of them listed, how do the ADs work in this league in terms of exerting their influence? And I'm assuming it's in conjunction with the commissioner.
Yeah, it is interesting from talking to different people, who are the people that might be the most talkative or the people who might have the most influence. So, one of the things that I got back was that, Scott Strickland and Ross Bjork, who, both had roots in Mississippi. Ross was at Ole Miss and Scott was at Mississippi State. And then now they're both on their second SEC stops with Ross at Texas A&M and Scott at Florida. But those two are really some of the most active people in discussions. They're going to have, bigger voice in those discussions. And they're going to, try to do everything they can to, influence the way they want it to on their behalf. So there are two names that I think I've gotten, got a good bit of really important people. I think one of the interesting things when compiling this list of ADs is just how many of them tie back to Kentucky. Mitch Barnhart was the highest ranked person in our list who's Kentucky's AD. But then you look at some of the people who also made the list, and Scott's one of them, and then Greg Byrne at Alabama, both have ties back to Kentucky, having worked for Mitch Barnhart. So, Mitch has multiple people who are ADs in the league. John Cohen's another one, former baseball coach at Kentucky, now the AD at Mississippi State. So that kind of gives Mitch a power base. Mitch is not, what I've been told, necessarily going to be talking all the time in those meetings, especially as the chair of the ADs. He's going to try to kind of almost be the judge and try to kind of mitigate some different things. But, Mitch has people who know him well and certainly has the ability to influence a conversation or discussion, just based on the relationships he's had in working 18 years in the SEC, and then also having, multiple former kind of lieutenants of his that are now ADs at other schools. So, some of the names you might think that they should be on a list like this, didn't come up that often when I was talking to people.
15?
What do you like?
John, let me jump in here quickly before we run out of time. It's a fantastic list. Add Jay Talty if you want to check it out. John, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Paul.